John's Gospel, the 18th chapter, verse 18. And then I want to take you to John 21. So same book, John 18, 18. Then let's go to John 21. Hallelujah. When you get it, say amen. If you're still looking, say hold up. All right, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. John, the fourth gospel, John, the one Jesus loved, John. The Bible says, now the servants and officers who had made a fire of coals stood there, for it was cold. And they warmed themselves. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. To understand this, Peter has just, for the first time, denied Jesus. This is the first denial of three that would happen in the same evening, twilight moment of his life. He stuck between the dawn and the daybreak. It's almost morning, and he's just denied Jesus for the first time. And the Bible says it's cold. So the servants and the officers who were there to put Jesus on trial at Caiaphas's house, the head of the Sanhedrin council, the Bible says in that courtyard, they made a fire of coals. I want you to see it very carefully. They made a fire of coals, for it was cold. And it was the coals that warmed them. And Peter stood with them and warmed himself. Now go to John 21. There's a reason why I'm bringing this point out. John 21. Yeah. In John 21, the Bible says, after these things, Jesus showed himself again to the disciples at the Sea of Tiberias, it's the Sea of Galilee. And in this way, he showed himself. Simon Peter, Thomas called the twin, Nathanael of Cana in Galilee, the sons of Zebedee, and two other disciples were together. So it's seven of them. Y'all say seven of them. Simon Peter said to them, I am going fishing, going back to doing what I know to do. Jesus has been crucified on the cross. I've just had the worst night of my life 3 days prior by denying my Lord when he told me I would do it. And I did it. Oh. So I'm going fishing. I'm going back to doing what I was doing before the Lord found me. I'm going back to what I know. I'm going back to what I used to be. I'm going back to my old self. He called me Peter, but I'm going back to Simon. Simon Peter said to them, I'm going fishing. They said to him, we are going with you also. So not only am I going, I'm taking other people with me. I'm going back, but I'm taking other people back with me. We're going with you also. And they went out immediately and got into the boat. And that night, they caught nothing because there wasn't nothing there. When you decide to go back, ain't nothing there. But when the morning had come, when the morning had come, I don't even know why I brought this up. Jesus stood on the shore. Yet the disciples did not know that it was Jesus. Then Jesus said to them, "Children, do you have any food?" He said, "No." And he said to them, "Cast the net on the right side of the boat, and you'll find some." So they cast, and now they were not able to draw it in because of the multitude of fish. Therefore, that disciple whom Jesus loved said to Peter, "It's the Lord." When Simon Peter heard that it was the Lord, he got dressed. He put on his outer garment, for he had removed it, and he plunged into the sea. Oh, hallelujah. But the other disciples came in the little boat, for they were not far from land, but about 200 cubits, 100 yards, dragging the net with fish. Oh, God, there's so much here. Then as soon as they had come to the land, hold on now, as soon as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals. As soon as they come to the land, they saw a fire of coals there and fish laid on it and bread. Oh, yeah. And Jesus said to them, "Bring some of the fish which you have just caught." Yeah. And Simon Peter went up and dragged the net to the land full of large fish, 153. And although there were so many, the net was not broken. And Jesus said to them, here we go, "Come and eat breakfast." And none of the disciples dared to ask, "Who are you?" knowing that it was the Lord. I want to preach to you from the subject, "Breakfast is Served." Spirit of the living God, in these short few moments that we have, speak to us. Do it by your Spirit, not by my might, not by my power, but by your Spirit. Speak to us. If you anoint me, I'll bless them. If you'll use me, I'll use all my tools to bless your people. Because that's why we're here, God. We're here to be changed. We're here to grow, to be set free, to get clarity. That's why we're here. So move by your power and by your Spirit. Do it in your fashion. I remove any agenda because I have none. I yield myself as a vessel to you. Speak, Holy Ghost. Don't let anybody leave the way that they came. Touch us, so that we are transformed, our minds renewed, our hope restored. Let us be conformed to the image of your Son, Jesus. In short, God, what I'm trying to say is, mess us up this morning. And we will give you all the praise, all the glory, and all the honor in Jesus' name. You agree, shout amen. Amen. Before you sit down, turn to your neighbor, smile as bright as you can. You know how we do it, KLC. Come on, show them everything God has blessed you with. Gold teeth are always involved because it's Baltimore. Amen. And look at them and say, "Breakfast is served." You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. I need you to understand in the context of Scripture that Peter is now facing a moment in his life that he would soon come to regret. He was just at supper with Jesus, at the Last Supper, where Jesus took bread and he broke it and he gave it. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. He took bread, he blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. We see this pattern all throughout Scripture, that whenever God wants to use somebody, transition someone, there's always a meal involved. We see this concept centered in the middle of our Bible, both in the Old Testament and in the New Testament. We see it in Passover in the Old Testament, where Moses was instructed to take a lamb and to make sure that there was unleavened bread and that there were bitter herbs. And the lamb was supposed to be killed, and the blood of the lamb was supposed to be posted on the doorposts and the lintels of the house so that death would pass them by because of the blood. And then they would take the lamb and they would cook the lamb and they would eat the lamb with the bitter herbs and with the unleavened bread, and that would become their Passover meal and their tradition as they celebrated Passover. Whenever you're being passed over, the blood of Jesus is always applied. Whenever you're being passed over, there's some bitterness that you have to eat and some things that you have to endure when you're being passed over. Yeah, there's unleavened bread that's at the table because the yeast cannot be in the bread because it's a sign of holiness. And so there's a consecration factor whenever you're being passed over. And then also there is the lamb that you have to eat as according to the tradition of the Passover meal. But when we step into the New Testament, Jesus has invited his disciples to this Passover meal known historically as the Last Supper. But what it really is the Lord's Supper, because he's instituting a new tradition, a new covenant. They're about to pass over into something totally new. He's moving them from Passover to Pentecost. He's moving them from this fear of losing to the power of winning. He's moving them and transitioning them into a different mindset, and he invites them to the Last Supper. And when they get there, he has this table discussion. They start having table talk. And the table talk is not comfortable, because whenever God is shifting you, there's always going to be a blessing, and then there's going to be a brokenness, and then there's going to be a giving. There's always going to be a blessing, and then there's going to be a brokenness, and then there's going to be a giving. There's always going to be a blessing, and then there's going to be a brokenness, and there's going to be a giving. So what God does is he invites you to the table when you are broken. He does not wait for you to get blessed to invite you to the table. He invites you to the table when you are broken, and he allows you to sit at the table in your brokenness, and he bless you while you're broken. And as he does it, he has these hard conversations with you at the table, like, one of you among me are going to betray me. And before he can institute a new covenant, he's got to get the betrayer out of the room, which we now know is Judas, because before he institutes the Lord's Supper, because all they knew was Passover, Judas exits the room. In other words, he's not going to institute something new and something powerful with your haters attached to you in the room. He always allows the haters to exit the room before he institutes a new covenant and a new blessing. That's where you need to say to yourself, oh, that's why so-and-so is not in my life anymore. Oh, that's why I don't have that relationship with that individual. Oh, that's why that person unfollowed me and unfriended me. Oh, I thought they... God moved them on purpose, because there is a blessing that's about to come that's going to move you into a different table. And he doesn't want you going to the new table with the old weight that you used to carry at the old table. He doesn't want you at the new table with the old leeches sucking the lifeblood and the energy out of you. He doesn't want you at that table like that, because you're going from being fed to feeding others. And when you're going from being fed to feeding others, you can't be drained when you're feeding others. So God removed all the folk who were draining you so that you could get your energy and strength back. to feed somebody else. And so they are at the Last Supper, and Judas leaves the table. And when Judas leaves the table, Jesus institutes a new covenant. He took bread and broke it, and he said, "This is my body, which is broken for you." He took wine. He said, "This cup is the New Testament in my blood. For as often as you drink it, you do so in remembrance of me." But while they were at that table, there was a conversation that Jesus had with Peter. And Peter looked around as Jesus said, "One of you are going to betray me." And Peter said, "I would never, ever do that to you, Lord." And the Bible says that Jesus, after renaming him as Peter, says, "Simon, Simon." Oh, my God. Before that rooster out there can cock-a-doodle-doo three times, you will have denied me. And Peter has nothing to say. What messes me up about that story is that knowing that Peter would deny him, he still took him with him anyway. Oh, y'all don't want to have church for real. Jesus told him, "You're going to deny me in front of everybody three times." And the Bible says they sung a hymn and they got up and they went to the Mount of Olives. Why in the world would Jesus still take Peter with him knowing that he would deny him? That meant he had to know that the denial was really not his destiny for real, but a momentary interruption and a delay that was going to take place, that he had to discover that it is possible to be that close to God and deny him. It is possible to have a relationship with the Lord and deny him. It is possible to have a seat at his table and still deny that you even know him. It doesn't happen all at once, but it happens. And the reason that it happens is because the anatomy of sin always begins with the tyranny of the urgent. In other words, whenever you are going to miss the mark with God, whenever you're going to separate yourself from what God said and from him, it is the result of something that shows up urgently in your life. In other words, the urgency is tyrannical because it puts you in a predicament where you have to trust and wait and lean on God, and God is not moving in the predicament the way you would like him to move, and he leaves you in it seemingly with no help. And so you distance yourself from him. I'm preaching better than y'all shouting. You begin to separate yourself from him little by little. It amazes me that when I read the story of the fallen nature of man, that when Adam was put in the Garden of Eden, the Bible says that it was the serpent who beguiled the woman. But it also lets us know they were both there. That means that Adam was listening in on the conversation of what was going on, but he wasn't saying nothing. What happened in his psyche, and what happened where he was probably no longer walking with the Lord in the cool of the day? He probably missed some days. You don't hear what I'm saying. He got busy with the responsibility of being fruitful and multiplying and replenishing the earth, that he forgot the very most important thing was to make sure that the presence of God was with him before he started his work. I don't care what type of work that you're doing. You better wake up in the morning and have just a few moments that you have with the Lord and set your heart and your mind right. Touch three people and say, "There's nothing like the presence of the Lord." When the presence of God shows up in your life, peace comes. When the presence of God shows up in your life, power comes. When the presence of God shows up in your life, wisdom comes to be able to solve problems that you could not solve. You get clarity. You get a calm. Your mind gets clear. Your heart gets open and set and renewed. God, there's nothing like the presence of the Lord. He might have missed some days of walking with God in the cool of the day. He might have missed some opportunities because he was busy with the responsibilities of the work that God gave him. It wasn't hard. All he had to do was open his mouth. He wasn't toiling on the ground yet. He wasn't working with his hands yet. He was just calling things. He was just naming stuff that was already created. Oh, Lord, have mercy. I'm preaching right now. That was his job. His job was to name stuff that God created. His job was to speak like his Father. Oh, Lord, have mercy. His job was to take the seed of the word and spread it everywhere. So he was a public speaker. Adam was a public. His job was to stand up publicly and declare what God said to all of creation and replenish it everywhere. And when he fell, Lord have mercy, he lost his job as a public speaker and had to start to till the ground and work the ground because of the tyranny of the urgent. I'm sure Eve made it sound like it was an urgent thing, that we not going to surely die if we eat of this thing. It's not really going to go down that way. And when she ate and nothing happened, he said, well, I might as well give it a shot. See, if it were me, would have looked at Eve and I said, you just messed up. And I'd have walked back to God and I'd have said, hey, she ate. Do that thing that you did. Do that thing. Put me back to sleep. Do that thing. I got one more rib. I got one. I got two. I got three. Rib right here. He ate, and man fell. And when man fell, they fell susceptible to the tyranny of the urgent. The enemy will always bring something up that's urgent that'll make you distance yourself from God. Oh, God. The enemy will always present you with something that makes you feel a little bit of trepidation when it comes to your faith and trust in the Lord. The enemy knows how to send somebody your way and say to you, you tired? Are you crazy? Yeah, the enemy knows how. Oh, I'm coming down your road. The enemy knows how to send somebody your way and pose a question to you and says, why are you so religious? And you don't know how to answer the question. I'm going to give you the answer if they ever ask you why you're so religious. The answer is I'm not. I've never been religious, but I'm relational. And whenever you come up on me, you're just catching me in my relationship. Oh, y'all not in here with me. You always praise him. That's how my relationship works. When I praise, his presence shows up. So in order to get my Father to show up, I gotta praise him. Y'all not in here with me. In order to get into his presence, oh, Lord have mercy, I've got to praise him. I'm never religious. As a matter of fact, it was the tyranny of the urgent that produced religion in the first place. Adam didn't even know, and they didn't even know they were naked. And when they saw themselves, they covered themselves. That's called religion. When you see yourself, you cover yourself. That's what religion is. Relationship means I can be me. Relationship means I can be bare, I can be vulnerable, you can see all my nasty, all my ugly, and still invite me to breakfast. God sees all the ugly stuff about you and still says, come on. Oh, who am I talking to in here? He sees the nasty. He saw you deny him and said, come on. Come on. Let's go pray. How you gonna ask me to come pray? I just heard you say I was going to deny you. Now I can't pray. Jesus is in the garden of Gethsemane praying, great drops of blood are coming down on him, and this is the time of his departure. And he's gone to be captured in this moment. And they come from the Sanhedrin council, the officers, and because Judas sold them out. And when they get there, they arrest Jesus. Peter jumps up and cuts off the ear of one of the officers. He didn't cut off the ear of the officer to really defend Jesus. He cut the ear off the officer to defend himself. He was afraid that what Jesus said was going to come true. Because in his heart, he knew it to be true. Jesus takes the ear of the officer and he heals his ear. He says, stop this foolishness. I must go. And he leaves. And they get to the Sanhedrin council and they're questioning Jesus. And Peter is traveling from a distance. There's an urgent situation that has been created that Peter is now going, well, if I tell them I'm with him, they might kill me too. If I tell him I was at that table, they might take me out too. If I identify myself as one of the disciples, they just might kill me as well. And so in his mind, he's trying to save himself. In his mind, he's trying to save himself. In his mind, you're going to get it in a second, he's trying to save himself when the Savior is doing the work that's going to produce his salvation. Y'all get with me on this right here. Whenever you're trying to save yourself, you're going to have to do it at a distance from the Savior. Because Jesus is not going to have no competition. That's why he told him up front, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster cock-a-doodle-doo. You're going to do it three times. And then he says, let's sing a song. Let's sing a song. And they sing a hymn and they leave. And Peter's walking with him like that. How you got to do that? How you gonna put me out on blast like that in front of everybody? And now they're in the moment and it's urgent. And Peter denies the Lord. Someone comes over and they says, hey, aren't you one of them? And he says, it ain't me. And it's cold outside because it's almost daybreak. It's night, but, oh, Lord have mercy, but it's not morning yet. It's a.m., but it's dark. I'm really going somewhere. It's a.m., but it's dark, and it's cold. And so they make a fire with coals, and the soldiers that are going to mock Jesus and beat Jesus and spit on him are warming themselves by the fire. And Peter walks over with them to disguise himself as one of the disciples by the coals of that fire. The coals are burning and they have a smell. Come on, put yourself in the story. It's early morning. You woke up this morning, you came outside, you said, ooh, it's chilly. And the sun was out shining. Ain't no sun in this story. And it's about to be morning, because the reason we know he does it at the early hours of the morning is because of the rooster. And he's warming himself by the fire, and he's at a distance. And again, some lady says, hey, aren't you one of those guys that are with him? I know I saw you at the table. I know I saw you working with him. I know he borrowed your boat. I know. And he goes, hey, no, that I said it wasn't me. Little by little, Simon is coming back. Simon comes back when he cuts the ear off. Lord have mercy. I'm preaching about y'all. Simon comes back when he cuts the ear off. Lord have mercy. Yeah. And Simon has to come back because Simon is about to go into Peter, and Peter can't go into being Peter while he's still Simon. And so Jesus had to let him know, you still got some Simon on the inside of you. Go ahead and look at your neighbor and say, I see you, Simon. Don't sit here and act like you ain't got no Simon on the inside of you. And God is not about to let you go into the next level of your destiny with Simon still on the inside of you. Jesus is listening and he's watching, and he denies him twice. By the fire. And they're going to sentence Jesus. They throw him down in a hole. Before they throw him down in a hole, one more person comes and says, I know you're one of them. And he says, I told you for the last time, don't make me get my knife again. It wasn't me. They take Jesus and throw him in a hole. I believe before he threw him in that hole, Jesus looked at Peter and heard the rooster cock-a-doodle-doo. And all of this happened by the fire with the coals. We don't see that word, Lord have mercy, fire of coals, anywhere else in Scripture. You see fire, you see coals, but you don't see fire of coals in that terminology, in that phrase, anywhere else in the Bible, except in John 21. 3 days has transpired. 3 days. Jesus is already resurrected. He's already back up again. I'm about to mess y'all up. Peter has already ran to the tomb to see, Lord Jesus, if it is Jesus, if it's empty. They've already gone back to the upper room where they were hiding, and Jesus walks in the upper room to show himself to them. Where Thomas was going, is it you, Lord? He says, look at my hands. That's already happened. This is the resurrected Jesus. And Peter says, I'm going back to fishing. Jesus is resurrected with power. And Peter still decides, I'm going back fishing. They know he is risen. But Peter still says, I'm going back to doing what I'm doing. And the disciples that were with him said, I'm going with you. They all decide to go back after knowing that the Lord was already resurrected. Oh, Jesus, I'm preaching right now. What happens in your psyche after seeing God do what he said he's going to do, and you still decide to go back? He denies him, and Jesus tells him, you're going to deny me, and he still says, come on. Jesus resurrects, and they still decide to go back. And what is it about the never-ending, overwhelming, ridiculous, foolish, absolutely stupid love of God toward us that would make him still show up on the shore after knowing that they went back. They go back. Oh, God, y'all are killing me. They go back after knowing that he was resurrected. You would think they would be running around. He did it just like he said he would. Oh, he showed up in power just like he said he would. You would think they would say, I'm ready to preach the word of God. I'm ready to be used of the Lord. No, their response was, I'm going back to fishing. Because the reason why you decide to go back is because you love the blessing, but you can't handle the brokenness. And when God is blessing, you'll sit at the table. But when God is breaking, you want to go back. You want to show up for the blessing, but you don't want to be present for the breaking. Slap your neighbor a high five and say, he's going to bless you, but he also going to break you. And the reason he's going to break you, Lord have mercy, is because when he does what he said he's going to do in your life, it is for him to get the glory and not for you. So that when it happens, you say to people, if it had not been for the Lord. You want to show up. Oh God, I hear you, Holy Ghost. I understand, my son. You want to show up for the blessing, but you don't want to show up for the breaking. When they heard him at that supper, take bread, bless it, and break it, and give it. They did not realize it is the same thing that he did when he fed the multitude. And took the bread from the little boy's lunch and took it up to God and blessed it. Oh God, I'm preaching better, y'all shout it. And broke it because he handed it to the disciples for them to distribute it out. He was training them on how to be broken. Oh God, so that they could be given. You don't hear what I'm saying. He was training them on how to live with the brokenness. So that you can be given. He was training them on how to serve people. People don't want to be served by your blessing. They want to be served by your brokenness. Thank God that he blessed you. But I need to know that he was with you in your dark moment, in your trial, in your circumstance, and you got up out of that thing. I thank God for the blessing. But my God, I praise him for the broken moments of my life where he saw me broken and picked me up and said, come on. Oh God, slap your neighbor a high five and say, I don't mind being broken. That's when I can be given. When I'm broken, that's when God can use me. When I'm broken, that's when the glory comes. When I'm broken, that's when the anointing shows up. They want to be present for the blessing, but they don't know how to handle the broken. And if you don't know how to handle the broken, you'll never get to the giving. He blessed it, he broke it, and he gave it. Jesus is on the shore, and he's on the shore, and he says, y'all caught anything? They said, no, nothing. Cast your nets on the right side. Sounds familiar? And Peter had this experience before. But without hesitation, he shifts the net's weight, gets his boys involved, the seven-man crew in two boats, and they shift what they're doing, and they immediately do it. Why? Because when you're broken, you listen. Oh, y'all don't want to talk to me. When you're broken, you don't argue with God. When you're broken, you obey. When you're broken, it's, yes, God, what else? Yes, God, what? Yes, God. You know that ugly yes? Oh, I wish I had somebody. That ugly cry. When you're broken, you don't argue with God. When you're broken, you don't say, well, God, well, maybe let it do it like that. No, when you're broken, you say, not my will, Lord, but thy will be done. When you're broken, you don't lean on your own understanding. When you're broken, you say, order my steps in your word. When you're broken, you say, your word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. When you're broken, slap your neighbor high five and say, I've been broken, I've been broken. I had to be broken so that I learned how to lean on the everlasting arm of Jesus. I had to be broken. They were broken and they threw their nets. They didn't argue about how long they've been out there like he did the first time. They didn't argue about being professional fishermen like he did the first time. They didn't say, I know what I'm doing. They said, I don't even know who it is, but I'm just going to listen to what they got to say. Because when you're broken, you'll start looking for God's voice in anybody's voice. Oh, who am I talking to in here? It ain't got to be no preacher. It can be a coworker. It can be an auntie. You like, God, where you at? Where are you? I'll take it from anybody. If the janitor shows up with the word, I'll take it. I thought I had some broken people in the room. I understand what I'm talking about. They just shift their nets and they just threw them out there and they caught all this fish. And John looks up and says, I think that's Jesus. And Peter didn't even have a comment. He didn't say, are you sure? He didn't say, is that you, Lord? Because he had already had an encounter with him when Jesus was walking on the water and they were stuck in the boat, afraid for their lives because the water was contrary. He reached out and cried and said, is that you, Lord? If it's you, tell me to come. In this instant, he's not waiting on an invitation. The moment there is an inkling that it's Jesus, he just jumps out of the boat. When you're broken, you don't hesitate to run after your destiny. You just jump out the boat. Slap your neighbor high five and say, I'm about to jump, baby. I'm about to jump. I've been sitting in this thing worried about how I'm going to make it. I'm about to. He gets dressed. And he jumps out the boat. And he swims to get to Jesus. They're not far off the shore. Listen to me carefully. When he swims to get to Jesus, they're only 100 yards out. Jesus is on the shore cooking what they're trying to catch. Just look at your neighbor real quick and say, he already caught it. You out there toiling all night. You out there struggling all night. You out there racking your brain. You out there tweaking your business plan. But God has already caught it. You out there trying to figure out how you're going to make it. But the Lord has already caught it. You're trying to figure out how you're going to do it. But the Lord has already caught it. I dare you to high five three people and say, he already caught it. He already caught your dream. He already caught the money. He already caught the resource. He already caught the healing. My God, I feel like preaching in here. Somebody shout, he already caught it. That's not even the miracle. That's not even the part you should be dancing over. It's not that he caught it. It's that he cooked it. I wish I had somebody in here. I'm glad that he caught it. But my God, it's already prepared. I can just show up and start tasting and seeing that the Lord God, he is. I dare you to touch three people and say, it's already prepared. It's already cooked. It's already ready. All you got to do is show up. My God, who am I preaching to in here? Who am I talking to? If I'm talking to you, holler back at me. Let me know. Watch this. Peter gets to the shore and Jesus is cooking and the Bible says, get my text back up here, John 21. The Bible says he's cooking on the coals of fire. These are the only two places these words show up, in John 18:18 and John 21. He's cooking on the coals, the fire of coals there. And they saw the fire of coals and fish on it and bread. Jesus is cooking breakfast, because at supper, you were broken. But at breakfast, you're given. At supper, you're going to deny him. At breakfast, you're going to work for him. Oh God, who am I talking to in here? At supper, you were being fed. At breakfast, you're going to be feeding. Watch this. Jesus is cooking on the fire of coals. The same words in John 18. In the Greek, it means the same thing. The aroma of the fire. When Peter denied Jesus, his shame had an aroma. He could smell it. And that's why he went back to fishing. Regardless of Jesus being resurrected, he could smell his shame. It was stuck on him like a stench. And wherever he went, he felt shame. It didn't matter that he was risen in resurrection power, because I am ashamed of what I've done. And when you are ashamed, you don't want to be around your Savior. When you are ashamed, you feel like he won't love you. When you are ashamed, you don't want nobody to know what you did. When you are ashamed, you say, I'm going back to doing what I know to do. Won't nobody bother me there. I was fine over there all by myself. I'm going back to fishing. It could read, I'm going back to drinking. I'm going back to smoking. I'm going back to that person that I know that is no good for me. I'm going back to old mindsets that God delivered me from. I'm going back to old stuff that I thought I was set free from, because I'm ashamed. I don't want nobody to know that I did Jesus like that. I don't want nobody to know what I'm capable of. They think I'm super powered. They think I'm a good preacher. They think I'm sharp and I'm intelligent. But I don't want them to know I got some struggles. You won't talk about you, so I'll talk about me. I don't want them to know. I doubt sometimes, and I'm afraid, and I'm fearful, and I feel like I can't measure up, and I don't belong in that circle. I'm not supposed to be preaching with that group. I'm ashamed. I don't want them to know that I have those thoughts, and that I think I can't preach sometimes, and I messed up a word, and because I'm ashamed, and the shame has a smell. But when Jesus shows up on the shore, he's cooking with the same coals that you smelled at the moment of your shame. He's cooking to change the aroma of your shame to a testimony that you can be proud of, because we overcome him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of our testimony. Slap somebody a high five and say, I'm not afraid of what you think about me. I got a story to tell. I've been through some stuff, and God still blesses my life. I struggle with some stuff. I got some thorns in my side, but his grace. I wish I had a church in here. Slap three people a high five and say, his grace, his grace, his grace, his grace, his grace, his grace is sufficient for me. My God, I feel the power of the Holy Ghost in here. Somebody's getting broken out of that shame. Somebody's getting set free from shame. Somebody's getting healed from shame. Somebody's getting delivered from shame. God knew you was going to deny him, and he still said, come on. He knew you was going back to drinking and smoking. He knew you was going to mess up. And he's still saying to you, come on. He knew you was going to have that fall down, and he still said, come on. He knew you was going to have that setback, and he still said, come on. He knew you was going to slip and fall, and he still said, get up, 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 get up. I dare you get real anointed and look at somebody and say, this is the day I get up. This is the day I get up. This is the moment I get up. This is the moment I stop feeling sorry for myself, and I get up with resurrection power and step into who God said I'm supposed to be. I'm getting up. And when Peter smells the coals, Jesus says to him, go bring me some of that fish you just caught. Watch, watch, watch. And Peter goes back out to the shore to get the fish. He left the fish to get to Jesus. And Jesus sent him back to get the fish. He left the fish to get to Jesus. But Jesus sent him back to get the fish. Oh, God. He left the fish to get to Jesus. But Jesus sent him back to get the fish. Oh, when you're broken and you jump out your boat to get to Jesus, Jesus says, I'm not going to let you leave here without being blessed. Oh, who am I talking to here? He sent him back to get the fish. Trust three people say, he's sending you back. Go get the fish. Go get the fish. Go get what you caught. Go get what you caught. Go get what you caught. Look at her. He goes back to get the fish. Watch this. And he drags them to the shore. A great multitude. He sends them back to get the fish because he told them he was going to make them fishers of men. So he says, don't leave what you caught. I'm not going to break you without blessing you. I have to bless you to give you. I have to bless you to give you. I can't give you without blessing. And when he brings the fish to the shore, they sit and Jesus says, come, eat breakfast. And the table changes from supper to breakfast. And they're sitting down at breakfast with Jesus. And while they're having breakfast, they're not talking about betraying or denials. They're talking about love. Jesus looks over to Peter and says, do you love me? And Peter says, I love you. He says, no. No, do you agape me? Do you love me unconditionally? And Peter says, I agape you. And he gives him his new work. Since you love me, I don't need to feed you no more. Since you love me, feed my sheep. When you're at breakfast, you go from being fed to feeding somebody else. Oh, slap your neighbor a good high five and say, I ate until I was full. Now I'm about to feed somebody else. Everything I'm about to do from this spot is going to be a blessing to somebody else. I'm about to bless my community. I'm about to bless my family. I'm about to bless my friends. I'm about to bless my church. And the Bible says that Peter is no longer called Simon after Jesus says, feed my lambs, tend to my sheep, feed my sheep. After he says those things to him, the Simon drops off. So for the rest of the Bible, it's just Peter. I wish you'd look at your neighbor and say, bye, Simon. The thing that kept you flaky, the thing that kept you flimsy, the thing that kept you tossing to and fro in the wind is leaving your life right now. I dare you, to thank God for Simon departing your life. Hand me my envelopes. At breakfast, Jesus didn't let Peter go into his destiny without catching something. God told me to do this, and y'all know how I feel about these things. But I'm waving bye to Simon in my life too. Simon's got to go for me also. I know y'all don't think I got no Simon, but I'm Simon, 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 Simon. Simon, 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 Simon. Simon, Simon. God is not about to let you go. Listen to me, this is a destiny moment. And I say this with no shame. And there was a time in my life where I would not be able to do this because I would feel bad about it. But I have no shame because I know God told me to do it. I know he did. I have 50 envelopes in my hand. 50. Simon caught 153 fish that day. History tells us that's how he started his ministry, his new moment of being apostle. His whole life shifted in this moment. When God invites you to breakfast, it's to shift your life. And that's where we are. So God told me to take 50 envelopes because it ain't for everybody. There's way more than 50 people in this room. I said, God, I'll do it. And he said, I want you to take these envelopes. I want you to pray over them. And I want you to tell somebody that this is a seed that is going to stop the shame and start the next dimension of their life. I could tell you a bunch of things. But that's exactly what God said. So I have 50 of these. And I'm going to stand here. And these 50 is for the 153. That means it's a seed of $153. Don't take it if you ain't going to do it. Don't take it if you ain't going to do it. Don't take it if you're going to talk about me. Hold on, one at a time. I got you. I got you. Y'all want this daggone thing, huh? Hold on, hold on. I got you. I got you. There you go. You're welcome. He knows my name. He knows your name. And Simon is leaving your life today. I'm going to run out. I'm going to run out. Don't worry. I got more. I got more. If you're going to do it on your phone, y'all get text to give up there.
You know my name.
Give Give me the other ones, y'all. I need the other ones.
Thank you. You know my name. You know my name. You know my name. Oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you talk with me.
There you go. God bless you. God bless you.
Oh, how you tell me. That I am your own. You know my name. You know my name. You know my name.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know my name. You know my name. Oh, how you walk with me. Oh, how you walk with me.
I'm just saying.
This is the day that shame wipes off your life. This is the day. And Simon leaves. This is the day where you no longer struggle. Shatobo. Give me an elder up here. An elder. An elder. An elder. An elder. Pray for her. Who did I miss? Who did I miss? I'm running out of envelopes. You can just write it on here and put it on just, a. Yeah, you know what? Grab that. D, give her yours. Give her yours. Yeah, we're too. Come on, y'all worship the Lord.
You know my name. You know my name.
Come on, worship the Lord as you raise your offerings. This is a covenant moment.
You know my name.
Where's Brian at?
You know my name.
Switch the song up. Yeah. This is a covenant moment. Put tissue down there. Come on. Yeah. Come on. It's called deliverance. It's called deliverance, people. I need a sanctified church right now. It's called deliverance. It's called the devil will not have his hand on that girl's life no more. It's called no weapon formed against her shall be able to prosper. This is not a game. This is a covenant moment where your life changes. That's what that was about. Not taking an offering. This is a point of contact. That's what this is. Come on, worship the Lord.
Lord, you are.
Worship the Lord.
You are holy. Holy, Lord, you are.
Lord, you are.
You are.
Holy,
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 holy.
to this altar. Just put it on the altar. Just put it on the altar. Anywhere. Anywhere. Anywhere.
Lord, you are, you are, you are holy.
So they can text to give online. They can get to give online. If God spoke to your heart and you still want it, I put some more envelopes right there on that side. Just come get it if you still want it. I'm gonna pray over this. Significance in you walking down here and grabbing that seed. Walk and get it. Destined for you starts. It's a covenant moment. It's a shift in your life. It's a moment when Simon leaves and you become who God called you to be. That's what this moment is. It's a divine moment in the Lord. Father, you asked me to do it, so I did it. I obeyed you. Now I know you are about to release the glory in such a pronounced way in every person's life who gave by sacrifice, who gave because they heard you, who gave out of obedience, who gave because their pastor asked them to. However it is, they did it, God. They did it. Now bless them. According to your word, do what only you can do. Have something prepared, something already cooked, already cleaned, already ready, that they can walk right into. Father, I thank you for testimony after testimony of a prepared blessing that shows up in their life according to their tastes. God, don't do it just one way for everybody, but do it specifically just like they like it. And when it happens, we're going to praise you. We're going to give you the glory. We're going to tell everybody what the Lord has done. God, we thank you for this covenant moment. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. We thank you. And we praise you in Jesus' name. Somebody just praise to the Lord real quick. Come on, just praise him. I know it's a late hour, but just praise him. Everybody standing on your feet all over the church. Hallelujah. And my mother's giving it, so God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Hallelujah. My God, the Spirit of the Lord is in here, man. Woo! Woo! I'm sorry, I didn't mean to do all this. Oh, God. Yeah. That is. It's coming. I already feel it. I feel it. Yeah. Lift those hands all over the church. Before I give the blessing, I just want to take this opportunity to thank every veteran who fought for the freedom for me to be able to do what I'm doing right now. Thank you to our veterans. Thank you. God bless y'all. Thank you. We honor you. All right, come on. Y'all got to get me out of here. Lift your hands, receive the blessing. May God bless you and keep you. May his face shine upon you. May God be gracious unto you and give you peace. May he surround you with his favor as with a shield. May his angels encamp themselves round about you. And may his blood cover you from now to eternity. In Jesus' name. Somebody say amen. Hug two or three people and say, breakfast is served. God bless you. We love you. We love you. We'll see you Wednesday night. The girl I was praying for. Where's she at?
Right there.
Where? Come here. This was designed by our very own. Where Tam at? Tamara. Tamara from Chic Confessions. This is her design. She designed the table. Y'all give it up for her. Come here. Where's she at? Oh, she coming? I just want to get this to her. Sorry. Yeah. Yeah. That's for you, darling. That's so you can remember. Ain't no more shame in your life. This is a new day for you. Come on, somebody thank God. Yeah, God bless you. Love you.
Holy, holy.